We're talking about the reality of Christ in us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that we might see the excellency of God and not of us. One of the things that I like to do is like not make life too complicated. It seems like the older I get, the simpler I want things. Anybody identify with that? And I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that I'm not talking about memory or anything like that. I'm just talking about life doesn't need to be so complicated. You know, there's a lot of things that we can look back and say, gosh, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have done that. And we want to get past the regrets. And let's just find some simple things that we can do. It's all, we all know about the KISS principle, you know, keep it simple. Well, anyway, I like to, let's sanctify it a little bit. It's keep it simple, saints. You know, and let me just boil down a very, very simple theology. How about just love God? Talk about loving Jesus. Love one another, encourage the brethren. And then share the love of God with those that don't know it. And you know, if we can do that well, then maybe we can move on to some other things. But it's about the love of God. Keep it simple, saint. But anyway, I want to talk today about reaching our Jerusalem. And you'll understand what that is in just a minute when we talk about some verses in Acts. But I want to set a context. I want to talk a little bit about the problems and the needs that we see around us. Remember, we've talked about this treasure in earthen vessels. We've talked about just loving God, maybe letting Him show through in our lives. But there's a lot going on. You turn on the news and you don't hear a lot of good news. Although it's fun to watch the Olympics, and maybe that's a little bit different there. But we've got economic struggles, we've got famines, floods, natural disasters all over the world. You know, we've got, I don't know how many troubles, hardships, foreclosures of people's mortgage, losing their house, increase of divorce, trouble, assaults. I mean, you look at it, there's a heck of a lot of hurt in this world. So today I want to have an open and honest discussion about how do we fit in this? How do we, as followers of Christ, how do we as believers, how do we deal with this? How do we deal with this personally? And then what do we do about it in the world today? So let's let our hair down and be a little honest with one another. I'll tell you, some of this message and some of what I'm sharing today comes out of a conviction that the Lord's been moving on in my heart. So I'm speaking right to myself here. But I've seen that it's very easy to let the world impact us. It's very easy to be influenced rather than be an influencer. We got stress, we got busyness. I mean, even those of you who are not working, there's still a lot going on. There's schedules to do, there's places to be. I know a lot of people who are busier now that they're retired. You know, so there's a lot going on. So, you know, when God starts, you know, talking to me about, you know, let's stress and busyness, and so if that fits, you know, let's start listening to that today. But if we're honest with ourselves, we'll admit that a lot of times when things get tough, we just go with the flow. We just sort of let the circumstances sweep us away. How many have had a busy day, and then you're going to bed, and all of a sudden you realize, what did I do today? What happened? It was just like the day was a whirlwind, and you just rode along with the waves of the circumstances. I mean, that's okay. Things happen like that. But there's part of it, and we're going to get to that, is where God wants us to be purposeful about what's going on in our situations and realize that He has placed us in this earth for a reason. Yeah, to love Him and to be close to Him and all that. But also, remember, treasure in earthen vessels. For those that don't know Jesus, sometimes it's us Christians. Sometimes, how about it's all the times, us Christians are going to be the ones that are going to help reach others for Christ. You know, there's struggles that we have. How many people, they do things and the Holy Spirit will convict them and they realize, oh gosh, I got to stop doing this, Lord. I'm caught up in some problems, or I'm caught up in some busyness. Now, if you're like me, I mean, I haven't been arrested for Grand Theft Auto. I mean, I've been faithful to my wife. I'm not doing drugs. I'm not involved in violent crime. I'm a good, honest, hardworking guy. And many of you are probably good, honest, wonderful people. But if I sit and rest on that, I mean, that's not what God wants. Because I'll tell you, I know that there's, you know, I may not do cocaine, but, you know, there's other things that are in my heart that I can lust after and want after. And like I said, let's have an honest and candid discussion. You know, God wants to work in our hearts, wants things to be real. Again, remember, it's not just learning some Bible verses. It's letting God write the word on your heart. It's embracing what He wants to make us into. Proverbs 3 tells us that the path of the just is as a shining light that grows brighter and brighter until that perfect day. God started something in us, and it's so much bigger than us. Sometimes we'll get a glimpse of it. You ever get a glimpse when God starts showing you things, and it's like, whoa. And you just get that sense of awe and wonder about how big God is. And we're a part of this. And we need to have that big vision. And we need to have those times that we're awed and feel small in the presence of God. Because then it's less about us. And it's more about Him. Because when we can see how big God is, when we can see that Jesus is the one who spoke and calmed the storms, that when we're in the midst of that stress, when we're in the midst of those problems, we don't have to be hassled. Like I said, it's so easy to get caught up in the day. It's so easy to get caught up in the stresses and the pressures. And then here we are, we're supposed to be, and I'm not talking about being dutiful here, I'm talking about God shining through us. We can be just as reactive and just as stressed out as anybody else in the world that doesn't know Jesus. But you know, when there is a deep abiding trust in our lives, when we really know that Jesus is there for us, that can give you a calm in the midst of what's going on. You know, it really can. You go, whoa. And you can be in a position where people might ask you, well, what's going on? Hey, you have an opportunity to tell them. You have an opportunity to tell them, you know, that I trust in the Lord, that Jesus is taking care of me. And it doesn't really have to be a whole lot more complicated than that. People want something real in the world today. Because like I said, they're seeing everything around them fall apart. Everything they've hoped in, everything they've hoped for, the days of the great American dream, there's a lot of people that aren't ever going to see those. They really aren't. How many people do we know that, or friends or associates or people's, in fact, you probably have sons and daughters and grandchildren that they can't get into a house. They have to drive 2 hours to work every day because they can't afford to live in the city where they work at. And they're stressed. And they're driving the miles, and there's some fathers that only see their kids on the weekends because they have to get up early in the morning to drive to work, and then they work late, and they come back, and the kids have already ate dinner and gone to bed. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying that's the type of world we live in. And there's not a lot of hope there that people have. We want to, like I said, look honestly at life and realize that there's a lot that we have to be thankful for. There really is. And if you can recognize that and see that awe of God and just say, well, gosh, thank you, Lord, that your hand is on me. And even though maybe this is happening or this isn't happening, that there's a lot that you can thank Him about. And then you know what? Then you have something when somebody would ask you. You can say, yeah, the Lord has really helped me. and it's honest and it's sincere, and you're not making up a canned testimony that says these four spiritual laws, or if, let me ask you two questions, or do all these canned presentations that people, they don't want that. They don't want religion. They don't want a spiel. But there's people around us here in Port Ludlow, around the world, around America, that are desperately wanting something. They don't really know what they want. So that's why the challenge that the Holy Spirit's speaking to my life and that I'm sharing with you all today is to recognize that it's not just Pastor Kevin preaching up here, or Pastor Sherry or Pastor Carl, but it's God working in and through your lives that's going to make a difference in the world today. We're all a part of this. So let's get into this Acts 1:8. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about reaching our Jerusalem. It says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." See, we all love the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we can read about and see on the TV what's going on in Lakeland. I know people who go down to Lakeland, and they're excited about the power of God that's there. They're excited about the power of God moving in meetings. And how many like to be in the meetings where, I mean, God heals you. You get slain in the Spirit. There's all sorts of stuff going on. And we see the power. I love it. You know, I remember when I was first a Christian, we used to get in the car and run to go to different meetings to hear, you know, people speak and to just, you know, wow, be amazed by what God was doing. I mean, that's okay, but, you know, it's not just about seeing the gifts in action. It's just not seeing miracles. I mean, hey, believe me, I want to see miracles. I want to see things happen. And we'll go back to the verse that Pastor Sherry and I were talking about this morning in Matthew 7:21, where the people say, "Well, Lord, Lord, you know, man, I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons, and I did all this good work. You know, aren't I good?" And he says, "Depart from me, for I knew you not." It's not about the motions. It's not going through the motions. It's about the reality of a changed life. It's about what Jesus Christ is doing. He's coming alive in us. He really is, each and every one of us. This word power, you shall receive power. It's the word dunamis. That's where we get dynamite, dynamic, dynamo. It's a powerful word. It means miracle working effect, miracle power. It's the what happened when the woman that was all hunched over with the issue of blood, she touched the hem of his garment, and it says he felt power, he felt virtue flow out of him. He says, "Who touched me?" Because he could feel somebody in faith connecting, and that the power that was in him flew out in it, and it flowed out, and it healed that person. I tell you, that's exciting. Man, I'd like to see that every day. I'd like to be a part of that every day. But when we look at this verse, the power is great, but the power is there that we might be witnesses, is what it's saying. That we might be demonstrations of Jesus Christ in the earth. And he says, to Jerusalem, which is like our immediate neighborhood and city. Then he talks about Judea and Samaria, which gets to like our state and our region, and then even to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, a lot of us, and I have in the past, I look at this and I focus on the power and all the excitement and what's happening there. And I also focus on the fact that, hey, there's missionaries and we're going to send them to the end of the earth. I mean, you've got your missions board here, people that I know and love. I support missionaries, and it's wonderful, and God has a call, and we need to send people to the uttermost parts of the earth. There's unreached people groups, and God will put in people's hearts a desire to reach that, and they'll go out, and we have the opportunity and the honor and the privilege to be able to support people so they can reach these people that won't be reached by any other way except by going out. But that's just a small part of us. Not everybody is called to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Most of us are called where? Right here in our Jerusalem, in our sphere of influence, where we have daily contact with people. I tell you what, you have a lot more influence. You have a lot more contact with people than you realize. God has made all of you to be influencers. And I'm not just coming saying that. I mean, this is something that's stirring in my heart, that we, all of us as Christians, we need to see, again, that treasure in earthen vessels. Treasure, something to be desired for. The big moments of God, the power of God, that's in us. There's opportunities for us to minister. Again, going back to that keep it simple thing. You know, it's as easy as loving God, encouraging one another, and then sharing the love of God with somebody else. It doesn't have to be more complicated than that. So I believe God wants us to be a prophetic people. And when I say that, I believe God doesn't just speak through the ministers and the pastors and the leaders, but you know what? He speaks through us. Now, I'm going to give you, Pastor Kevin will straighten everything out if you don't. But I like a very liberal definition of prophecy. You know, he talks about his word is to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. We need a heck of a lot in that in the world today. We need to open the word. We need to speak life-giving words to one another. We need to let the treasure that we have in us from Christ encourage one another here as brethren, and then also be a light in the world. And we can do it more. We can do it a lot more than we're doing it. Because he's given us so much. We have such an opportunity. Because we carry in us that hope. We really do. We carry us in that hope, and that's what we're going to talk about. The people around us, here's a description of them. It's in Ephesians 2:10. It says, having no hope and without God in the world. Wow. Having no hope and without God in the world. You know, no wonder people freak out. No wonder people are stressed. They have no hope. They have nothing to hold on to. They have no stabilizing force in their life, so when the winds blow and circumstances get up, they lose their house, loved ones die. I mean, things like this happen, and they happen, folks, to Christians and to non-Christians alike. Tragedy and other issues like this, you know, they happen to all of us. It's not an issue of getting mad at God or getting resentment about God or why do you let these things happen. Folks, tragedy happens. You know, we're not living in a perfect world. This is a fallen world. The curse is there. Thank God for his grace. Thank God that he saved us. Thank God that he has started something in our lives that ultimately we're going to see, and we're going to be there 10,000 years, shining bright as the sun. In that day, there shall be no more death. There shall be no more dying. He's going to wipe away all tears. That's not happening yet, though. We have a foretaste of that. We have a hope of that. Not a hope so, not a, well, I hope it's going to work, but it's a confident assurance in our God. Because he meets us, and he touches us, and he helps us in the little things and in the big things. But the people around us, they're without God and without hope in the world. Then I start to have to look at my own life and say, do I really trust in God in such a way that it makes a difference, that you can see that when there's a famine going on or a power outage or some other natural disaster? I'll tell you, sometimes I'm freaking out as much, and honestly, I've seen myself freak out more than people who aren't believers. And some of that is just because I haven't stopped and seen and remembered that, in fact, God is bigger than the situation. That's why we need to encourage and exhort one another. That's why we need to be prophetic people. That's why we need to be constantly lifting him up and encouraging one another. It's real. It's not a hype. I'm not talking about hype at all. I'm talking about speaking the truth in love. I'm talking about words of life that are going to enrich and encourage one another. I'm starting to see change. I'm starting in my own life where I've had to look and see that, you know, I've let circumstances shake me. And I've seen how, wow, I've worried about things. Worry. Oh, what did Jesus say about worrying? Yeah, don't worry. He says, and what I mostly worry about? Those things I don't know about, the things that have yet to come. I worry about things tomorrow. And what's he say? Sufficient unto the day. Hey, just worry, you know, just today is what you have. Don't worry about tomorrow. It's interesting. If we worry about tomorrow, or we're condemned about the past, those things, you know, I could have, should have, would have done. Maybe it's only me that, you know, sometimes I get condemned or I get worried. And if my eyes are in the guilt of the past, or the worry of the future, I'm not living in the now. And where is the power of God? Where is the hope of God? Where is the reality of God? It's seen in the now. He said, I am that I am. The eternal, timeless God. The now God. You know, it's not tomorrow things are going to happen. We didn't miss it yesterday, but now. Now it's there. If I'm in Christ, I've overcome the world because He has. And I don't need to be a victim. I can live confident and I can trust in Him that He's going to take care of me. Really can. You can too. 2 Peter 3:9. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to those who ask for the reason of the hope that is within you. He says, you need to be ready all the time, folks, to tell people about the hope that you have in us, that they have in you. You know, we need to get a new view of the reality of Christ and really know that He's there for us. Colossians 1:27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of His glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That what? The excellency of God might be seen. Believe me, when God moves, folks, people know it's not you. You don't have to put on this air and say that, well, I really appreciate what you did, brother. I really appreciate what you did, sister. Oh, it's not me. It was the Lord. That's just religious gobbledygook, folks. It really is. It's a false humility. It's trying to put the focus on you because people say, oh, no, you were really good. No, it's not. We all know that when there's a miracle happen, we all know when something goes on that it's God, and it's pretty clear it's not you, so we can just join everybody in praising God and thanking God for what He's done and get the whole self thing out of the perspective. That's just being religious. And remember we talked about we want to have an honest, candid discussion today. Let's just get real one with another about seeing Jesus come alive in our lives, Jesus make a difference in our lives so He can make a difference through our lives. That's really what I'm talking about today. I really am. So, Christ in you, the hope of the world. It's a living hope. You know, the more I look at this and the more I see what God can do and get excited about the power of God. See, it's okay to be excited. There's a passion and a stirring that comes up in my heart and I want to see Him move. I want to see things happen. I really do want to see the world get changed. I want to see stadiums full of people praising God and getting healed. And I want to be able to see people walk down the streets like Peter did. You know, even in his day, they talked about the shadow of Peter that would heal people. You know, and if you read through the context, and I'm not even reading through the lines, he says they would lay out the sick so that when Peter walked by, that they could be healed. So that must have happened more than once. Or maybe God just spoke prophetically to everybody, and you know, I that could happen. But I think I choose to believe it happened more than once, and because I think God wants to display it. And how exciting to live in a day like that where you know we start seeing God move. And let's get charged up about it, man. I'll tell you, I'm over 50 now, so I'm finding I'm younger at heart, and I've got more imagination and more desire to just see things happen and. Pretty exciting. I think God wants us to keep passionate because we'll be young at heart. He, after all, He told us that what we need to be as children with a simple faith. So I mean, I'm completely serious when I'm saying that. Let's be simple. Let's be simple minded because you know what? It's a lot easier that way. You've heard many preachers sometimes say that we as Christians are sometimes the only Bible people read. I'd rather say we're the first Bible people read, okay? Because we want them to read the Word. We want them to get saved. We want them to go. But God is making His Word alive in our hearts. There are times when we pray, we study, we read, and God makes this real in our hearts, and it's more than simply memorizing it. God's writing it on our hearts. How many people have really experienced something or had a word and you know you own it? because you know that Jesus is real. And it's like those, one of those landmarks that they would put in Israel, and they would anoint landmarks and set up altars and stuff. And they said, don't remove those, because those are points of remembrance for the glory of God and what He's done. And God's doing that in our lives, and He's writing, and He's shining His light into our hearts, and He's changing us. 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3, he says, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, not written with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tables of stone, but on tables of the flesh, that is, on the heart. He's writing His Word on our hearts. I tell you, when He writes His Word on your heart, don't you just burn sometimes for that? You say, wow, I just love it. And you just can be excited about what God has said or what God is doing. And that's okay. Remember in Luke 24, there's a story of a couple of disciples who after the crucifixion were walking down the road and they met this guy. They didn't know until later that this guy was Jesus. And so they're walking along the road and they're talking about current events. And then it says, then Jesus started to open up the Scriptures to them, and beginning with Moses and throughout the prophets, He spoke of the Scriptures about Him. And afterwards, after their eyes were revealed and they saw that it was Jesus and He was gone, they said to one another, did not our hearts burn? Because He was speaking words of life. He was testifying of Himself. And you know, and if we have the Word of God burning in our hearts, we can influence the people around us by just speaking simple things, because there are things that we love, there are things that are important to us, there are things that are primary to us in our lives. Again, not a canned spiel, not making something up, but truly that treasure that's in our hearts that God has done. It's a new day for the follower of Christ. I really believe that God has set things up here, and He's put us into a world with some turmoil and problems, so that He can shine through us. You know, God can move supernaturally. God can just thunder from the heavens, and God can just, you know, zap people and they could be saved and all that, but that's not how He chooses to do it. How does God choose to predominantly move in the earth today? Through people. You know, some of us, and there's probably some in this room who maybe were, you know, had an occasion where God by His Holy Spirit moved and you just prayed a prayer by yourself, but I would say that almost all of us were ushered into the kingdom by somebody else. There was somebody who prayed for us. We may not even realize it, how many people prayed for us and what went on, but God works through the agency of men and women. God works through you. Colossians 3:16 tells us to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. Is in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. But letting the joy of the Lord be your strength, letting the things of God just bubble up in and through your life. In fact, that's one of the definitions of prophecy. I'm sure that they've taught you here too, is that there's sometimes the prophetic word just speaks of that bubbling up and that spilling over. It doesn't have to be a big forceful thing. Sometimes it's just like a little babbling brook. You know, He said, out of our innermost beings, He says, in John, He says, shall flow rivers of living water. And that's what we're speaking about. We don't make those things happen. God does it. In Acts 4, the people remarked of the disciples, they said, well, we know that these are just uneducated and untrained fishermen, but they marveled at their boldness because they had seen that they had been with Jesus. You know, that's the thing that God's speaking to me. That's what I'm sharing today, is that, you know, we can be that same way. We can talk with people and we can make them hungry for Jesus. You know, they can hang on our words. They may not tell you that they are, but I'll tell you that the word that we speak, the Scriptures that we share, make a difference in people's life. Isaiah 55:11 is one of those. He talks about His word goes forth and it will not return in vain. Just like, you know, seed is planted and all that. And that's what happens with the word of God. It's going to go forth. Our prayers go forth. The sharing of the word. Remember, I talked about being prophetic people. There's all a reason to this. God wants there to be an outflow. He doesn't want us to be stagnant streams that just sit within the four walls of the church. And if I'm stepping on toes today, I'm going to step on toes today. But he wants us to realize that the ministry that he wants to do in the earth today is outside the four walls of this church. Hey, this is part of what God does. Remember, we need to encourage one another. We need to love the Lord. We need to strengthen one another. But there's a lot of Port Ludlow and community around here that aren't in this church building today. And they may not be in this church building ever. But we might see them, who knows where. They might come to our house. We might see them at the grocery store or wherever we are out and about. And we can make a difference in their lives because of what God has done in our lives. You know, we are to preach the Word. What? I thought that was just Pastor Kevin's job. No. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Word, be ready, in season or not in season. That means whether it's convenient or not. And don't worry about this interruption thing. If you look at the ministry of Jesus and you go through the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus allowed ministry to come forth out of interruptions. You know, he got interrupted and he healed people. You know, he's going along on his way and there's some children that want to come up to him and I'll put myself in the same position as some of the disciples. They say, kids, get away. This is Jesus. He's important. He's got things to do. We don't want to interrupt him. And what did Jesus say? Hang on there, guys. Bring those kids over here. Let's bless them. Let me lay my hands on them. Let me pray for them. Let me encourage them. He wanted to give a flow of life. And he was not so important. His agenda was not so important that he didn't have time to stop and minister. You know, there was throngs of people that came around him, and the scriptures say that he prayed for and healed them all. That would take a long time with some of those crowds. But, you know, he wasn't hassled. He didn't worry about his agenda so much that he didn't let an interruption be an opportunity for ministry. You know, we stand in line a lot. We wait a lot. That's part of life, you know. People have done those statistics and say, well, this is how many hours on average you sleep in your life. This is how many hours you are in the car. How many hours you're sitting in line. And, you know, some of those, I would submit to you, may be divinely orchestrated opportunities where you have an in to share with someone. Hey, you know what? Again, let that be your opportunity to be the preacher. Let that be your opportunity to share what you're thankful for, to let a little bit of that treasure in your earthen vessel show forth. Let's reach our communities. You know, because if we don't, and if the churches and the Christians here in the Port Ludlow area, or the Christians in the state of Washington, if we don't have a burden for the people around us, who is going to? Remember, we go back to that. God is long-suffering, what? That none should perish, but all would come to everlasting life. 2 Peter 3:9, I think. And if God's that way, and God is in us, we might sometimes find ourselves being that way too. You find as a Christian, sometimes what you used to have as your agenda is no longer your agenda. Remember I talked about that I might not be a felon, I might not have done drugs and stuff like that, but I sure have a stubborn streak in me that wants to do my own will, and the Holy Spirit's knocking on my door and says, hey, deny yourself, you know, pick up your cross and follow me. I've got good things for you. It's so easy to do purposeful acts of kindness. Little things often are the big things in people's lives. I'm not talking about standing up on a street corner, getting out a megaphone and belting out a scripture preaching. Now, if God tells you to do that, that's fine. Sometimes I'm talking about just smiling and being outgoing and reaching out with love to somebody. We don't know, but there are people around us who might have just been told they have a terminal illness. They might have just been told that a loved one died. They might have just lost $50,000 in some stock transaction. We don't know what's going on. And we might be able to be a breath of fresh air. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. We don't have to come there with, you know, 20 questions and a little scriptural brochure about, you know, how to grill them all the way into salvation. We might be able to just speak the love of God and say, you know what? I care about you as a human being, and I just want to say hi, and I hope you really have a good day. People can tell if you're sincere. How many of you, before you were Christians, could tell that some of the street corner evangelists were not always sincere? They were more about going through a spiel. But some of them really were sincere. And you know what, folks? People can tell. They can tell the sincerity of your heart. If you really love Jesus and there really is a genuineness in your heart, it's going to show. And you know what? That's going to live with those people. And the Word of God is going to nag them. And then they're going to be in a situation where they can't just always be a victim, because they're going to say, well, that wonderful lady, she shared something with me, and I wish that hadn't happened. And then God's going to remind you of some of these people. You're going to pray for them. And you're going to see their lives changed. And that's exciting. That's reaching our Jerusalem, folks. That's letting the kingdom of God be real today. You know, it's a lot of fun, you know, when we start looking at this way. It really is. What I want to again say is, it's not just the pastors and leaders. It's every one of us. Ephesians 4:16 tells us that each joint supplies to the building up of the whole body. Every joint, every part has a place. Every part has a function. God doesn't have wasted parts. God doesn't have wasted people in His body, in this church. You all have something that you can do, someone you can be. In fact, I will tell you that you can reach people that Pastor Kevin or Pastor Sherry or Pastor Carl will never be able to reach. You'll be in people's homes. They'll be in your homes, and you have an opportunity to maybe touch their lives for all eternity just because of some little thing that you did. Sharing of the hope that is within you. We're all called to ministry. I'll tell you, I spent a lot of my life saying, well, I want to do this when I grow up. I mean, does anybody say that? I mean, I'm over 50 years old and I'm talking about, gosh, when I grow up, or I can do this. And it's one of those things where I got really convicted. The Lord really says, you know, you've wanted to do this, and you've wanted to do that, and those other things. Jay, this is what you are, and this is what you're doing, and I'm anointing that, and I'm blessing that. Why don't you just stop this looking around trying to be something else, and just let me be who I am through you in the circumstances that you're in. And I'm going, oh, yeah. And then I can trust Him to be big enough that if He's put a dream or a desire in my heart, that He's going to fulfill it how He chooses to. That I may see some things happen that I want to see happen. I may not, but you know what? If I'm in His will and I'm doing what He wants, I'm going to know His pleasure. He's going to know me. And why would I want to do anything else? You know, if you think about that, if you are fulfilling the will of God, if you are pleasing your Heavenly Father, if Jesus is alive in you and you love Him and He knows who you are, hey, that's pretty good. That really is. It can really be that easy. Again, remember, keep it simple, saints. It's not complicated theology. Religion is complicated. Laws and legalism and rituals and all that kind of stuff are complicated. But He says, I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. John 10:10. It's that easy. And you are part of what God is doing today. You're part of the economy of God. You're part of the ministry forces that God has in Port Ludlow area. You know? Somebody invited you to this church, or you saw a sign or something, but there was something that brought you to church here. And, you know, I'll tell you, there's a lot of wonderful people here. And I'm sure some of you 5 years ago didn't even know half the people in this room. Is that true? You didn't know some people? But now you do. And look how rich and wonderful it is. And, you know, just think about that. There's a lot of lonely people around this area, and some of them are really neat folks. And wouldn't it be fun to just have, you know, a bigger group or other churches or whatever, and have the confidence to know that there's other people that are being blessed and encouraged and loving the benefits of being in the kingdom of God just like you are? Hey, we want to share the good news. I mean, if we knew of a cure for arthritis or a cure for cancer and stuff like that, we'd want to be sharing it with people. You know, it's the same way with Jesus. I mean, when you think about it, you've got a cure for stress and worry, if you will take it. You know, I have to make that choice because I sometimes still choose to worry. Shame on me, but thank God that He's bigger than that, and that all I need to do is say, oh, Jesus, I blew it. You know, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our faults one to another, you know, He'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's that easy. It's not a work. It's not a hard thing. And if we can be this free in our relationship with Jesus, I mean, it's amazing. You know, you talk to people and say, well, I don't understand this. It doesn't make sense. There's things in the Bible that are, you know, trouble in there. And I can say to them, yeah, I don't understand it all either. It doesn't always make sense to me. Yeah, there are hypocrites in the church. Yeah, I've been one of them myself. And then you start being honest like that with someone, and it can freak them out. Because what it'll do sometimes, it will disarm them, and it will take away their excuses. Because there's not an argument. A lot of times people just want to debate and argue. You can see that even in the times of the elections. There's people who are, you know, they'll flip-flop on positions just because they like to argue. And we can just pull ourselves away from the argument and just allow the Lord to minister to people. And we're doing what we need to be doing. It's that simple. Each and every day we can be making a positive difference in the world. Each and every day. Through our prayers, through the things we're doing. Let me share a last scripture here. 1 John 3:2-3. It says, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope, and everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself even as He is pure. So what he's saying is, looking for and hoping for the day that we can be like Jesus and see Him. He says, that's a good thing, and that's going to help purify you. Because you're keeping your eyes off the world, you're keeping your eyes off other things, and you're just looking to what Jesus is going to do. So here we're talking about hope. We're talking about the people in the world, they are without God and without hope. He tells in Ephesians 2, and then in 2 Peter, he tells us that we need to be ready to tell people about the hope that's in us. And what is that hope? It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. And then we can also talk about the hope we've read here in 1 John 3 that talks about the hope that's going to purify us and help us to become like Jesus. You know, it's pretty simple. That's what God wants us to offer to the world. And that's as easy as just letting Him move in you and move through you. That's what it is to take the ministry of the church outside of the walls of the church. Just be loving. Just be friendly. You know, we love. Why? Because He first loved us. If you don't think you have a capacity to love, then just let Him love through you. If you don't think you have a burden for souls, just let His burden for souls be in you. If you don't think you can love the unlovely or pray for your enemies, you know, He'll do it. And that's what's the beauty of having the body one with another. You know, sometimes it's pretty hard to do all the daily regimens. Well, gosh, I have a hard time praying, that person has really hurt me and I just don't know if I can pray for them. Then you can say, well, let me pray with you. Let's join together and let's do this together. You know, because we're not in this alone, folks. This isn't just about each one of you doing this individually. It's about, hey, we're encouraging one another. We're working with one another. We're being that prophetic people that's stirring one another up and say, hey, you know, stir up that gift of God that's within you. And, hey, you are called and anointed of God. And, you know, that's the kind of encouragement that I'm talking about. And I'm not speaking in vain because I know what? There's a deposit and a call of God in each one of our lives. And if you don't believe that, hey, we can talk afterwards. You can talk to Pastor Cal, Pastor Carol, Pastor Sherry, and but you know that. You know that there's a gift to God, that there's something wonderful that He's doing in you and through you. So let's be excited about who He is, about who Jesus is, and let's be just as excited about who He wants to express, you know, He wants to express through us, so that we can reach our Jerusalem. We'll pray for those missionaries, and we'll be excited about the power and the signs and wonders, but we're going to go out here realizing, you know what? I can make a difference in my world because Jesus has called me and enabled me and anointed me to do so. So I encourage you, God bless you, have a great day.